greetings, friends and listeners, in the matchless name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as we declare, yes, souls are crying, men are dying, we must work together to win the lost. And I'm excited to tell you that today's message is exactly the tools you need to be an effectual witness of the gospel to unbelievers, sinners, and backsliders. The Holy Spirit downloaded this message into my spirit fast and furiously over a 2-day period, and I believe it reveals great truths on how we can reach the unsaved. It is entitled, 8 Reasons Some Aren't Saved. I know you're going to want this CD, so I'll be back at the end to tell you how to order 8 Reasons Some Aren't Saved.
All right, that brings us to number 7. A lot of people are blinded and said, I can't get saved and go to church because of all the hypocrites. Ever heard that one? There are so many hypocrites in church, and they know them all. You're right. You're absolutely right. There are hypocrites in church. I bet you there's some here today. I bet you there's some here today. I can't go because of hypocrites. They've been turned off. They've been turned off by preachers that have gone bad. And oh, well, you hear there for a while, a few months ago, we were hearing every week a new one. Made you feel like hiding in a rock somewhere. Amen. This one's fooling around, and this one's got a boyfriend, and this one's got a guy friend, and this one's got a girlfriend. Yes, there are hypocrites, and there always will be. They were hypocrites in Jesus' day. There were hypocrites going to synagogue, and there are hypocrites going to church. And Peter did say in 2 Peter 2:2, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. They put a stumbling block in front of others. They don't go in and they stop others from going in, Jesus said. You want to hear how Jesus felt about hypocrites? I don't have time to tell you. You can read it. You read Matthew 23 and your hair will stand up. He never ever said anything mean or hateful to a sinner. But boy, he let it rip when he was talking to the hypocrites. He called them everything but nice people. Paul said there would be wolves in sheep's clothing. He said, watch out. They're going to come in church. Not out in the world. You expect the devil to be in the world. He said, wolves in sheep's clothing will come in the church. I'm telling you now, get ready. There will always be hypocrites. But remember this, it's impossible to have a counterfeit unless you have a genuine. You can't have a knockoff designer handbag that you can get for $25-$50, but the real deal costs $1,000. There's got to be a real design. There's got to be something that somebody created that was so beautiful, so lovely, and that woman wants that pocketbook, oh, but she can't afford it, but she'll go buy the knockoff and hope that nobody knows it's a knockoff. She'll put it on her shoulder and strut her stuff. And she knows she only paid $25 for it. She's hoping you think it's real leather, but it's not. It's just polyurethane. But they only make knockoffs of stuff that's really good and attractive. They only make knockoffs of things that people want, the good stuff. And in order for you to have hypocrites, you've got to have the real thing. Or they wouldn't know how to play the part. They had to learn the part by looking at somebody godly and righteous and upright and holy. They got to study them and say, oh, that's how I got to talk. I got to talk Christianese. I got to act a certain way. I got to quote them certain scriptures and wear a cross around my neck. Put a bumper sticker on my car. They got to study the real thing to know how to be a hypocrite. Jesus said, how will you escape the damnation of hell? That's what he said to the hypocrite. That was some of his harshest words. It's always for them. Now I want to ask you, if you got a problem that you don't want to, you say, I ain't getting saved because of all them hypocrites in church. Now how many here are United States citizens? How many of you paid taxes to Uncle Sam? Governor O'Malley, whomever. Amen? And now, let's be honest. We all know good and well that not all of our hard-earned tax dollars that we pay and send over there to Washington, D.C. are being spent honestly. One of the biggest gripes that we have is the way they squander and waste our tax. We hear they pay, you know, $10,000 so everybody could fly to a meeting, which really they were having a good time in Hawaii and called it a meeting. And we think $10,000, it takes me a half a year or a quarter of a year or whatever to make that. And they can blow it on one day. We know good and well that there's a lot of fraud. There's a lot of manipulation. Every time that they put in a new program that's supposed to help people, they know up front that a lot of that money is going to get siphoned off. Look at all the money that was supposed to go for Katrina and how many fraudulent people made up all kinds of stories and got millions and millions of dollars. Don't that infuriate you? Look at all the people that send in phony addresses and stuff and they're getting money from Social Security. Look at all the people that are always manipulating and wasting our tax dollars, and it makes us so mad when we think about it. But I ask you, does it make us quit paying our taxes just because we know some politicians are manipulating, dishonestly using the money in the wrong way? No. You know why? We don't want to go to jail for tax evasion. Be honest. I don't even want to get audited, much less go to jail. You see, we don't want to go to jail for tax evasion, so we pay our taxes even though we know good and well that a lot of our money is being fraudulently used. So all I'm going to say to you is if you're not willing to go to jail for not paying taxes just because of the abuse of some officials, why would you want to go to hell? Because of some hypocrites. Because when you get there, they'll be waiting for you. Jesus did give a parable in Matthew 13. Don't turn there, 24:30. I'll tell you because I'm running out of time. He said, hypocrites are like tares. They're like poisonous weeds. They grow up and they grow amongst the good grain. And somebody said, well, Lord, do you want us to go out and pull them all up? Pull up all the tares and the poisonous weed? He said, no, don't do that. Let them grow together. Let them grow together. Because when you go to pull up the tares and the hypocrites, you might accidentally pull up a gentle, young, tender wheat plant. You might pull up something good. And rather than take the chance of hurting a young, tender, gentle Christian, that you pull up this hypocrite. Everybody see this hypocrite that's been in our church. And that young, tender, newborn Christian's like, oh my God, I thought all Christians were good. Oh my God, they don't know enough word. They don't have enough experience. They don't know how to process it. So just leave the hypocrites alone. He said, at the end of the age, I'll send my angels. And they will gather up the hypocrites and the tares, and they will burn them with unquenchable fire. So don't worry about the hypocrites. People that say they don't want to get saved because of the hypocrites, the devil has really pulled one on them. And now we're down to number 8. Everybody say yay. They don't believe that Satan has blinded their minds to make them think that even if I wanted to get saved, I do not see how I could possibly live the Christian life. I just couldn't do it. I could not live that way. And you know what? They are half right. They can't. Nor can anyone live the Christian life on his own. But what they don't understand is that Satan wants to keep them from knowing the power of the gospel. It comes with its own power built in. You don't need anything outside. It comes with the power to live right. John 1, let's turn there. John 1, verse 12. St. John 1, verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, meaning born again, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. I want you to see that the gospel comes with its own power built in that allows you to live right, that allows you to live as a child of God. And you cannot receive that power by your natural birth. And let me show you, there's two ways to look at this. Your parents could have been the greatest Christians walking around. That doesn't mean that you're going to be able to live a Christian life just because they are good Christians. Or they could be some of the worst sinners, alcoholics, drug addicts, prostitutes, the worst of the worst. Amen? It doesn't matter. It cannot prevent you from rising above that and living a godly Christian life. But it's not by your natural lineage. It's not by human lineage. No human agency can affect this transformation. It is not by the will of man. It is by the power of the gospel. Peter said in 2 Peter 1, 3 and 4, according to his divine power, he hath given unto us all things that pertain unto our life and godliness, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. See, before this, they're trying to imagine living a godly life while they're still in the middle of corruption. You got to escape the corruption. You got to get out of the world. You got to get born again. You got to receive the divine power. And then you can live the Christian life. Amen?
Amen, amen. Surely the Holy Spirit has birthed this word into our hearts so we can be able and effectual witnesses and ministers of the New Testament. I believe you can discern the spirit of conviction that was upon the delivery as these truths penetrated the hearts of the hearers, shedding light in dark places and peeling away layers of resistance. It also serves to enlighten us how to deal with hard cases when witnessing of Christ. Paul said that Satan is a mind blinder, and he uses these eight strategies to keep people from getting saved. Number one, I'm a good person. Number two, they're not ready to give up sin. Number three, no fear of God. Number four, no fear of hell. Number five, I've got plenty of time. Number six, the fear of man. Number seven, too many hypocrites. And number eight, I just can't live this Christian life. Every point is scripturally supported. There's enough anointed ammunition in this teaching to prepare you to be a powerful soul winner. You can order 8 Reasons Some Aren't Saved on CD for a love gift of $10. Ask for order SK151. That's SK as in Sharon Knotts, 151. Send your gift of $10 or more to help us pay for radio time to R.G. Hardy Ministries, P.O. Box 1744, Baltimore, Maryland, 21203. You may also order online at rghardy.org. There you will find many other spiritual resources by my dad, Brother Hardy, and myself. The mailing address, again, is P.O. Box 1744, Baltimore, Maryland, 21203. Until next time, Maranatha.